There's a hymn that we sing. I just want us to sing the chorus of it. And thank you, Brother Joe, for opening up in this song this morning. Can you look at somebody and tell them, love lifted me. Oh, it was love lifted me. When nothing else could help. When nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Oh, it was love lifted me. Yes, it was love lifted me. When nothing else, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Now give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Amen. Our scripture this morning is taken from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. And I got some bread hot off the oven of heaven. Amen. Hot out of the oven. So we thank God for his word today. John chapter 20, verses 21 through 23. I want to inspire you, but also to challenge you. There are some things that as we celebrate this 4th of July, and the independence of our nation, but yet the dependence of the church. Amen. We will always need our great and awesome God. John chapter 20, verses 21 through 23. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retained, they are retained. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. I want to preach on the message simply, catch your breath. Catch your breath. You may be seated. Amen. I want to thank Reverend Givens. I know he's working on our men's fellowship, but I really appreciate the fact that, you know, as men, he's challenging us to be godly, but to also enjoy life. We were, I had a golf outing on yesterday, and it was a great fellowship, not only with this church, but also our neighboring church, Chapel Grove, and then we've got other people, and I just want to say how much I appreciate that. Because it's building us up in character. A lot of times when you see men gather in a group, you think it's often a gang. But we were the Christian gang. Amen. So we thank God for that. And I just want to let you know I appreciate Reverend Givens. He's our Barnabas. Our fellowship man. Amen. Amen. Thank God for Reverend Givens. Let's give him a hand. Amen. And we understand David had a little mishap this week, but we're grateful that everything's all right. Amen, amen. God is in control, amen, amen. How many had a good week? Some of you did not have a good week, okay? How many of you did not have a good week? Well, guess what?
This message is for you. It's for all those that did not have a good week, because now we want to encourage you to catch your breath. I started thinking about this a couple of weeks ago, how that without the breath of God, you and I are spiritually lifeless. It's one thing for you to have natural life, but what we're talking about is spiritual breathing. People who suffer with lung problems or breathing conditions, they know what this means. They understand what it means, catch your breath. Amen. They know the significance of it, because when they're in those crises, or when they're having that episode where it seems like the next breath is uncertain, they need help. Why is it that we can diagnose and we can understand the natural or the physical conditions, and yet we don't take time to recognize that we've got a deep spiritual need? I want to take you into a moment in the disciples' lives, but I want you to put yourself there. And many of you are probably already there because you're dealing with this issue of what we call breathless living. Yeah, you're here, and you got physical energy, but yet to say that you're making the most out of life, that you're breathing, that's a different subject. Because something has come in and something is interrupting the airflow between your maker and you, your God who sustains you and your heart. You're living, but you don't feel like living. Song that Danny Gokey, contemporary Christian artist, he sings a song about tell your heart to breathe again. Tell your heart to breathe again. What do you mean by that, preacher? Some of you have said, you know what? Psh, I don't care about life. I'm done. Done. And so you lose heart and you think that life is over, and yet you're still, physically at least, in the land of the living. Am I talking to anybody? Am I helping anybody? Helping you to understand. So when you tell your heart to breathe again, when you start thinking about where you are and where God wants you to be, maybe you need to take time out. Do what we used to do on the farm. My daddy called it, take a breather. Just sit down. Just sit down. Now's not the time to be saying, well, oh, if this didn't work out, let me just do something else. Activity can be more destructive than inactivity. Just depends on the circumstance. Are y'all with me? All right, now, this sermon is going to be helpful, but it's going to be deep. It's going to be deep. When we were kids, we used to try this thing of holding your breath. And so you would try it as long as you could, and you would go, and then all of a sudden you had to exhale. Right? Amen. There are a lot of folks trying to live on one experience with God rather than a relationship with Him. Anybody know what I'm talking about? What you're trying to do is you're trying to say, well, God is good because He did this yesterday. Well, you forgot to eat today's bread. Amen. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, I've been thinking I'm going to have to preach part two of this message, and I think so. Catch your breath. Say that with me. Catch your breath.
Catch your breath.
Catch your breath. Catch your breath. What was happening to the disciples? Because of a couple of things that was going on, and I'll get to that in just a minute, but they had entered into this zone called breathless living. And I want you to picture in your mind of what it means to have breathless living. I want you to picture Ezekiel chapter 37, I believe it is, where Ezekiel is in a valley of dry bones. Valley of dry bones. I don't have time to deal with it, but what I want you to capture in your mind is a state of a nation that is spiritually dead. Are y'all in the house? And I want you to see God speaking to that prophet and saying to him, can these bones live? Right? All of America, there are people raising a flag and they're celebrating, and we should. We should celebrate our freedom. And yet, when we look at the spiritual conditions of our nation, and when we start thinking about where we are as the church of the living God, we can raise the flag, but a lot of people ain't feeling it.
Amen.
Are y'all in the house today?
Amen.
A lot of them are saying, you know what, I'm done. This is so disappointing. And when you look at where we are as a nation, then you start adding to that where you are personally and what life has done to you. I'm just out of breath. I'm just, you know what? I'm just going to finish my row and see what else is going to happen, because I don't expect a whole lot of good things to happen. Neither did Ezekiel. When he was looking at that valley of dry bones, he didn't think. And as a matter of fact, he said to God, well, you know, I don't know. You got the solution. I don't. But then God spoke to him and said, speak. You cannot speak unless you have air. Lord, have mercy. I like this sermon already. Y'all not feeling it yet, are you? You still breathless. Hold on a minute. Take a breather. Take a breather. All right, now what was happening? So a couple of things we got to think about. Number one, we got to think about the causes. What's causing this? Why is it that every time I turn around, something kicks me in the chest, and the next thing I know, oh man, I'm just trying to catch my breath. Anybody there? Okay. Yeah, a few people there. The causes. What had happened to the disciples? Now, I'm jumping over to them. Ezekiel, we know what happened in his day. The nation messed up. God punished them, and they were left lifeless because they thought that other gods could give them strength. And yet it was God who was maintaining them. All right? And it left them lifeless. And Ezekiel was called in to prophesy over the nation to give them a word that God's not done with you yet. That's another sermon for another time. But when you think about in John where the disciples were and where they were in their walk with God, two things had happened. One was the fact that they had a traumatic experience. The worst thing that had happened to them is that they had watched as Jesus was arrested. He was brutally just condemned, and all of the things that he did to him, they watched as Jesus was stretched out on a cross on a high hill over Jerusalem, and they watched him as he laid his head in the lap of his shoulder and died. Life had hit them so hard. And that trauma, as a matter of fact, it's described in Luke 21, where two of the disciples were on their way out of Jerusalem back to a village called Emmaus, and Jesus meets them, but he disguises himself, and he meets them. He said, well, what are you all so sad about? And they said, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem, and you don't know what's happened? You know, when you talk to people, you can tell when they're out of breath. Because the first thing that they will talk about is their trauma. All right. You don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. But I know somebody who does. Am I helping you all out? Amen. I'm helping me out. This is therapeutic. As I say it, I also hear it. Anybody in the house? So you got to know the causes. The second cause, second thing that they were dealing with is that the fact that Peter said, well, you know what? I ain't going to sit around here and do nothing. I'm going fishing. Wait a minute. That's what Jesus called you from doing. Why are you going back to it? I'm going fishing. And the other disciples, because they, well, I ain't got nothing else to do. I'm going fishing too. And the verse says, and all that night, they caught nothing. Anybody feeling that way? Man, I'm just going through this thing. I'm getting nowhere. You ever seen these hamsters on this little treadmill? Al, have you ever seen them when they get on there and they're busy, and they're going, then all of a sudden they'll stop. And you would think that the thought would come into their mind, get off the treadmill. It's like us, right? And then here we go, one more time. Busy. I'm not talking about you, T. Busy. We're church, so we family, right? You know, in my job, you know, I need to get this off my chest, right? I thought that meetings when I was in Tri-County, you know, we had 4 or 5 meetings a week. That's good, right? That's good. Okay, that fills the quota of meeting. We have 4 or 5 meetings a day.
Oh,
Yeah, right, Joseph. I'm saying to myself, yeah. What? It's wearing us out. And what's our nation saying to us? Hurry up. But wait a minute. I thought all these computers was to make our life. I thought when we got a smartphone, we didn't have to think anymore, right? I thought, Ms. Kabler, I thought these machines were supposed to make life easier. Remember when we used to have to walk to church? Now we can ride, but we got this machine that takes more of our attention and money. You try buying one of these new machines? I'm thinking $14,000. They're thinking $40,000. Somewhere we got a disconnect. But the whole point is this. Reacting to your trauma and just saying, I'm out of it. It ignores the fact that God's power, His grace and mercy can bring you back to life. Point number one. The second point, when you look at the causes and our wanting to catch up with life or get ahead of the crowd and wanting to run ahead and do something significant without God is fruitless. It'll leave you out of breath every time. Y'all still with me? I'm not going to get finished with this message, but I want to get you so involved in it that you got to come back next Sunday. You're going to cancel your vacation and come back so you can hear part two of this message, right? And you say, it ain't going to happen, Pastor. I'm going to get the tape. I'm going to get the CD, you know. Okay, so then we look at the consequences. When you start thinking about the consequences of being out of breath, sometimes people have to be hospitalized in order for them to have the treatments or Brother Slayton, as they say, that medication so that it's now in your system so you can breathe again. I want you to breathe easy. I want you to stop saying to yourself that here we are in this generation and God's brought us here, but we don't know where God is. All right, that's where the disciples were. They were saying, well, Christ, he was with us, now he's dead, and Rufus, now what they're saying is, we don't know how to give up, but we don't know how to move forward. We're just out of breath. We're just out of breath. And so the consequences is either you do nothing or either you try to fill it with some other activity, and neither one works. It's not A or B. It's God. It's God. Am I helping you out? Amen. I'm helping me out. Because when you start thinking about the one who designed your life also designed the time frame in which you would live. Right? So he ought to know what's going on. Here's the thing that I think is amazing. And I made some notes of this because I think it's very important that we understand that breathless people cannot revive themselves. You ever notice that? You don't expect a person who just got pulled in, you just drag them up on the shore and or from the edge of the water, and you got them on the water's edge, you don't expect, breathe. Somebody has to resuscitate them. And guess who that person is? God Almighty. When you can't get to him, he'll get to you. When you're swamped with stuff that says, okay, I'm going to take your life away from you, God says, no, I'm going to step in. When sickness says, I'm going to take your spiritual life away from you, God says, wait a minute, I rebuke you, Satan, and he comes in and he breathes on us. What I'm talking about is the breath of God being poured out on his people because today ain't your time to die. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, this man is preaching it here. Today is not your day to give up. This is the day. Yes, yes. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I might not be able to breathe well, but I'm going to do something here. Amen? Okay, so when we start thinking about the consequences, when we start thinking about where we are, then we've got to look at the cure. Because it's one thing to say, okay, I'm better, but it's another thing to say I'm good. I love what the young people say. How you doing? I'm good. And what I want to tell them is, wait a while. Wait till the other shoe falls, and you can find yourself, I ain't doing too good. But even with that, we can rejoice. We can rejoice. Now, let's unpack this very quickly. The first thing, and I'm going to deal with these, and then we're going to close. And next week, we'll deal with the cure, or how do we treat this? How do we get into this relationship? Because God is not calling you into an experience. When he starts talking about the Holy Spirit, he's not calling you into an experience. Did you speak in tongues? Or did you wave your hand? Did you shout? He's calling you into a relationship. Amen. Amen? Amen. Some people do speak in tongues, right? Amen. But don't condemn the one that doesn't. Amen. Because they could have the same spirit that you've got. Maybe God told them to do something else. Remember, you know, I don't want to go down that street today. What happens is that we want to resuscitate people. I'm going to give you God. How you going to give somebody God and you ain't God?
Amen. That's right.
Enjoy your experience. That's right. And let other people enjoy their experience. Right. Because God is this huge, he's this almighty God that cannot be measured.
Amen.
So why would we try to measure God with our own experience?
Yes.
Amen.
Did y'all get that?
Amen.
Look at somebody and say, he's going to breathe on you. He'll give you what you need to fit your need. Now, you can feel comfortable with that because the main thing is you need salvation.
Yes.
Don't ever make a lesser subject the main topic when the main thing you need is to walk with him and know that you belong to him and he belongs to you. All right, so let's go through these things real quickly, then we're going to close. Number one, when you are going through this, if we look at the conditions, if we look at what's happening with a person, they have this lost impression. Kodak created or invented this thing called the photograph, right? I guess he was the one, maybe he didn't invent it, Kathy. Help me out here. He made some cameras. Let me put it that way. So in making the camera, what he wanted you to do is to capture the moment. So that now they call it, when you take a picture, you know, people take a selfie. And they'll call it, this is a Kodak moment, right? The disciples, because of what had happened, they lost their impression of Jesus. And sometimes trauma can replace the true impression. Instead of seeing Jesus risen, they're seeing Jesus still on the cross. You got it? Their Kodak moment wasn't that good. Now it's hard to associate with the one that they believe in because they believed in him. As a matter of fact, they said, we had believed that he would have restored Israel. They had a lost impression. But look at the word that addresses that. Then Jesus said to them again. I haven't done a word study of it yet, but I'm going to grab my concordance and I'm going to go back and I'm going to look at the word again. Because just like all Reverend Givens, again only means one thing. You didn't get it the first time. So then Jesus said to them again, peace, shalom. What are you allowing life to either give you a sigh or you're breathless? He said to them again. People said, well, didn't God hear me the first time? Yeah, he did. But you didn't hear yourself.
Amen.
So pray again.
Amen.
People said, well, how many times should you pray? Pray until shalom happens.
Amen.
pray until you got the peace of God flooding your soul, and God says that's enough.
Amen.
Don't ever allow your last impression or the lost impression of God become something where God didn't do what I wanted him to do. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me check. Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold that thought. Hold on. Wait a minute. Let me check. Nope, it ain't there. Nope, it's not there. Nowhere in the Bible will you find that God has to do what you want.
That's right.
So when you take your selfie with God, just know that he doesn't have to do what you want him to do, but that he can work miracles. Well, we're talking about a God who opens up the Red Sea. We're talking about a God who allows his people to pass over on dry land. And even the sea that he does not open up, he can give you power to walk on water. I got a sermon I'm working on right now called Wave Walker. God will give you the power to walk on water if you believe in his word. Amen. You got to trust him. You got to know that he's God. So lost impressions, that's what people have. When God disappoints them, when something has happened to ruin their understanding of God, what you got to do is get back to the Bible and allow the word of God to speak to you. Second thing is loss of inspiration. The word inspiration is the exact opposite of expiration. Expiration. Expire means it's breathed out. Inspire means to breathe in. Now, here's the amazing thing. The church is still meeting. The church is still gathering together. And we still have a nation called the United States of America. But we ain't very united. We've got a church that we call the Church of the Living God, but we're not very lively. We don't have a whole lot to really show. And this has come from our loss of inspiration. Watch this. They thought that Jesus was still dead, Carolyn. So now they got this image of where he died on the cross, and some of them had gone to the tomb and they said his body is not there, but none of them thought that he was going to walk right in the room where they were. Are y'all with me? So while they are assembled together, as the Bible says, for fear of the Jews, and they're all kind of talking to one another, and they're whispering to each other, oh, what's going to happen next? Jesus came and stood in the midst of them.
Amen.
Now watch this. They're out of breath, right? But all of a sudden they go, Now, let me tell you what happened when you came into this world. The doctors wanted you to breathe, right? And so they hit you. For no other reason, Mike, than to get you to breathe, right? But rather than hitting to cause pain, Jesus hit you with something good.
Amen.
Right? Here he comes into the room when you're thinking everything has gone wrong that could have gone wrong. And then all of a sudden he comes into your room. Am I ministering to somebody?
Yeah.
In your moment of loneliness, of brokenness, of feeling that you just can't go on, here comes Jesus right in the room. I wish you'd tell somebody he's in the room. He's in the room. He's closer than what you think he is. He didn't have to say a word because his very presence brings you life. I've been there sometimes when you thought that all hope was gone, and yet God doesn't change a thing, but when he comes in, it changes you. You don't see life the same way. You don't look at the situation the same way, because now where you were looking only at the problem, now you get to look at God.
Amen.
And watch him look at your Lord, have mercy. Did I say? You didn't see it. Okay, last thing, then we're going to close with this, is the lack of indwelling. The lack of indwelling. Last thing. All right, so we've got the lost impression, and we've got the lack of what we call the inspiration, breathing in. But then when we look at the lack of the indwelling, here's the other thing. You need to constantly trust the Holy Spirit to guide you every day. All right, I used to be a firefighter. Yeah, I've done a bunch of stuff in my life. I had more jobs than, than Krispy Kreme got donuts. I had a lot of jobs. Amen. But I'm getting ready to retire one day. One day. All right. But I had this job as a fire protection. Brother Slayton, I would have to go into a fire. And what they wanted you to do is to have on this breathing apparatus. Right? Sometimes people have breathing problems and they have to take an oxygen tank or some breathing apparatus with them. Those of you that have any type of bronchial condition or asthma, you have to take an inhaler. Where are you going with this, preacher? You need an inhaler for this life. When you can't breathe, God says, don't worry about it. I'll help you breathe. I want you to go into the fire and I want you to go into the flood, but I'm going to help you breathe. Amen. Because this Holy Spirit is not an experience that you have, but a relationship that you have with God, so that when you are faced with the fire or the flood, He helps me breathe. Amen. Now, I don't have Him on the outside. I've got Him on the inside, so that now when I'm out of breath, when I feel like I can't go on, Jesus said, I breathed on you and I want you to receive the Holy Spirit, which means I got to open my heart. I've got to open my life so that this God can come on the inside. Part one, part two be next Sunday. So cancel your vacation and get ready to be right here next Sunday at the same time, same place. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Father, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your encouragement. Lord, I needed this message. So much I needed it. I've been breathless, Lord. I've asked myself a million times, why do I have to face these things in life? And every time it makes me tired, not wanting to go on. But today I've heard part one of a message, Lord, that I believe can truly help me as well as my fellow believers to face whatever it is. And to know that we have the breath of God, the life of God, the Zoe of God, to not only go through this life, but to be victorious. And I love you for it. Help that one that has not accepted Christ, because that's where it all begins. The capacity to receive the Holy Spirit can only come through the new birth of knowing Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Help that one that needs Christ today. And give us all the strength that we need to live for you. I pray in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen. I'm going to extend the invitation very quickly. If there's someone today without Christ, without hope in this present world, we invite you to come. May we all stand.